This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, that line forms on the right base. Not that Mackey's back in time.
The Fan. McMonagle here with you for a 4 hour Monday morning. I got you till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show, 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side taking your phone calls to get the week started. I was on earlier today, actually yesterday, whatever, the hours go together. I was on at noon on Sunday afternoon leading into the Knick game. And I tried to tell you how important this game was. And I talked about the idea that, yeah, they've been bad against the best teams in the NBA, and now they are now 0-7 after getting beat by the said Boston Celtics, 118-105, and it wasn't that close. But I thought this was a big game coming off a disastrous blowout loss against the Cleveland Cavaliers on Friday and what the Celtics have already done to the Knicks. You got word right before the game started that both Hart and OG Anunoby were going to be on the court. They were both going to play. Still no Mitchell Robinson, which I don't know how the hell that would matter in these games. We'll get to that maybe in a little bit, too, at 888-808-1019. But this game, to me, it was important for the Knicks to show up. And I got on the coach a little bit. And I wanted to talk about I wanted to see a little bit of fight, a little bit of intensity, a little bit of the idea that I'm tired of getting my ass kicked against the Boston Celtics, against the upper echelon teams in the NBA. Right? And the three teams that are ahead of them in the championship odds are obviously OKC, the Boston Celtics, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. And they have gotten their doors blown off by all of them. And the Boston Celtics now have a win, you know, an average point differential of the combined three games of over 60. They have kicked the ever-loving crap out of the New York Knicks. And to me, this story of the game, we can get into a lot of different things. We can get into the run they went on in the third quarter to make it respectable. We could talk about 118-105. We could talk about the injuries. To me, this is a game that starts, and we'll get into all the different elements of it. Because I got a real problem, we all do, with Mikal Bridges. I got a real problem with Karl Anthony Towns, who I've been defending, who I've talked about in my mind with this team and how it plays offensively. You can make the argument he's the most important Knick, not the best Knick. Because Jalen Brunson's the better player, and he's proven it since I've ever opened up my mouth to suggest even anything close to the other counter-argument. But Karl Anthony Towns and how he plays and how he stretches the floor and his three-point prowess and his presence as a big man on this team, I felt it's as important as anything else, including Jalen Brunson. But you look at the first quarter, because that's where this is. This team needed to come out there and show up. and show a little fight and grit. And I talked about all year long, there's going to be a natural comparison to last year's team because we never got to see last year's team take it to fruit, to take it to the end. Right, we never saw that completion. We never saw the finality of what that team could have been because of Randall's injury. And then by the end, the amount of injuries that piled up and cost them that series against the Pacers. And so we always will wonder. That team got blown up before we ever got a chance to really see what it was capable of. And I still think this team is more talented, and we'll find out. I still kind of believe that they're better situated to possibly win an NBA championship. But what this team is lacking that that team had is guts. Plain and simple. Guts, the ability to fight through screens, the ability to come out and play defense, the ability to hit shots at the beginning of the game. I mean, look at the idea that they went into this game knowing they've been blown out by the Celtics every time they've played, knowing they're coming off an embarrassing loss against the Cavs on Friday night, and knowing the talk around the team, around the fan base, around the NBA, is whether or not they can hang with the best teams in the sport. They've talked about it themselves on their podcast, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart. They talked about this on the podcast after the OKC loss a few weeks ago, about how important that game was, how telling that game was, how much they need to respond after a loss like this. They're aware of what we think of them, the rest of the NBA thinks of them, and that's how they perform in the first quarter, 38-19? And I know the only thing we talk about with this head coach is the minutes, right? That's all we really talk about, because he's done a wonderful job otherwise. We get it. This team has been a disaster for the last two decades. They've had Hall of Fame coaches come in and absolutely run it into the ground in Larry Brown. Like, there's been, nothing has worked forever. So the idea that over the last 5-6 years with Tibbs, it's been the best stretch we've seen in two decades, we can applaud them all we want, and we can talk about, you know, how it's different and the attitude he brings. Well, what attitude do the New York Knicks have right now, other than a failing one and a miserable one? And to start this game in the first quarter, like, Karl Anthony Towns, right? We're going to get to Mikal Bridges. And I know that's going to be the name we all talk about, and rightfully so. When you trade 5 first-round picks for somebody, I heard Lori talking about it just at the end and part of her show, and the 0 rebounds he had in this game. How about you watch him, right? How about the inability to fight through a screen? This I was under the impression this is one of the better perimeter defenders in the sport. Between him and OG and Anobi, the idea that they are as bad against three-point shooting as they are defensively is embarrassing. But Mikal Bridges, his shot's kind of gone right now, and he was awful in this game to start. 6-for-13 from the floor, 2-for-6 from three-point land. He doesn't fight through a screen. He avoids contact. How about rebounds? How about free throws? He is averaging, over the course of the season, 1.1 free throw per game. This is supposed to be the third best player on the team, the third scoring option on the team. He avoids contact in every which way, on defense, on offense. He has been a disaster. You cannot be as important to this team. You cannot be traded. You can't be worth 5 first-round picks, come here and be afraid of contact. And that's what's going on. 1.1 free throws per game. He doesn't get to the line. He doesn't get to the basket. No Nick does, other than Jalen Brunson and maybe Josh Hart on coast to coast. They don't attack the rim. They don't lean towards contact. They're playing fallback defense on screens. They're not fighting through. They're not getting on top of screens. And I mean, the Boston Celtics just run screens and get open looks constantly.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
There's been no game plan change. They go into these Celtic games, it's over in the first quarter every timeout. Every single game, it is over in the first quarter against the Boston Celtics. 38-19. That's the first quarter. That's the game. Everything else is noise. We could talk about how the bench came in, right? And we've talked about the amount of minutes that Tibbs likes to play the bench. That's really all we talk about. But, I mean, Mikal Bridges goes to the bench. They pretty much bring in everybody except take out the only starter in there is Karl-Anthony Towns, where they go on a 10-2 run with the bench on the floor. And then Jalen Brunson plays hero for a bit in the third quarter. But this game was never in question. The Celtics never sweated the outcome of this game, ever. And when it did get to a close game, they pulled away real quick. They were toying with the New York Knicks. Toying. And I talk a lot about Karl-Anthony Towns, too. And those are going to be the two guys, Bridges and Karl-Anthony Towns. And OG shouldn't be forgotten either, because he's looked slow and tired for a long time, even before the injury. And in this game, same thing. Now, I know he's just coming back from the foot, second of three games here he's played. He's played two of the last three games, just coming back from the injury. He looks slow. He looks like he can't get to the basket. He looks like he can't defend. And Karl-Anthony Towns, like, I'm sorry. If you want to be one of the better players on this team, you want to be a leader, you want to get rid of the moniker of soft in big games against the Boston Celtics, you can't allow yourself to be doubled up 38-19 and have 0 points in the first quarter. He scores 24 for the game and actually leads the team in scoring. Zero in the first quarter when the game is on the line. When the game's being decided, when it's time to show up and show fight and send a message to the Boston Celtics that you're here. Zero. He doesn't score a point until almost 3 minutes left in the second quarter. We talk about the moniker of soft in big games against the Boston Celtics. He has been atrocious. He has not showed up. Mikal Bridges has not shown up. And don't give me the injury stuff, because let's be totally honest. What in the world? I like Mitch Robinson. I do. And I think he can help this team over the course of the year, and he should make them a better defensive team for the most part. What is he going to do to impact their play against the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Boston Celtics? What exactly are we waiting for? Don't tell me they're not healthy. Mitch Robinson coming back is not going to impact getting blown out every time they play the Boston Celtics, every time they play the Cavs. What is he going to do? I appreciate him. He's going to make them a better defensive team. If they were close to the Celtics, I'd have a different opinion. They're not. And this team has a bunch of offensive prowess. There's no doubt. When they're playing their game and Bridges is hitting his shots and OG's hitting the corner three and Brunson's doing his thing and Karl-Anthony Towns is able to space the floor and Josh Hart's getting rebounds and getting to the basket and going coast to coast, they've got a bunch of different elements. They've got a bunch of ways to beat you, and they can be an offensive dynamic team. They certainly can. But what we have seen, when it's time to show up, they don't show up. And that's on the coach. I'm sorry. Like, I can't even remember. And again, it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing when they play the Boston Celtics. They take bad shots. It leads to long rebounds and transition offense. And they are just atrocious with transition defense. The There's no offensive movement. They play it down to the shot clock. They take a long three. It's a long rebound. The Celtics are on the run. Transition defense sucks. They get easy baskets. Defensively in the half court, they don't fight through screens. They play back. Leads to layups and open threes for the Celtics, who have five shooters on the floor. I can't remember the last time Tibbs off a side out of bounds play, and I've complained about his side out of bounds plays a lot. Either a side out of bounds play or a timeout. When's the last time the Knicks drew up a play and got a rebound, got a layup from it? Like, it's just, and Brunson didn't play great in this game. He did put on the Superman cape for a little bit in the third quarter and drag them back to make it a respectable game for a brief moment, but it never really was. It never really was. And this team's got a lot of talent, more talent than last year's team. And this team, on any given night, could put up 140 and probably could outscore the Celtics if they played 10 times. They'd find a way to do it once or twice. But this team right now, they're terrible in transition defense. They're terrible in perimeter defense. They're not aggressive. No one goes to the basket other than Jalen Brunson. Their third best scorer right now is soft and timid. Their second best scorer and player has been, in my mind, a lot better than I thought he would be and tougher than his moniker of being soft in Minnesota. But we see in the big games here, no shows in the first quarter. I mean, if he actually tries to go to the basket, he bangs up his knee where he needs to be off the court. And there's the other thing about Tibbs. What is he doing at the end of the game? Karl Anthony Towns is hobbling out there for the last minute and a half of the game. They're down 16 points. It's over. Why are you allowing Karl Anthony Towns to hobble up and down the court? Take him off the floor. Like, sometimes it's just unbelievable with that. And that's not even what I'm mad about with him right now. I'm almost mocking the stereotypical nature of that's the only thing we complain about, and I see other issues with this coach. But that's staring you in the face. He hobbles off the court. You put him back out there for the last 2 minutes of a blowout? Like, this Knicks team right now, I mean, it's just, they're going to do it. You know, they're going to win a lot of games. They're going to be a 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. And I said this morning. Or this, a Sunday afternoon. They'll probably play well enough in stretches and have a 5 or 6 game winning streak, and they might even beat a really good team, playoff team. Not the Celtics, not the Cavs or Oklahoma City, but they might beat a pretty good team. They'll go on a run. They'll play well. Karl Anthony Towns will drop 45, and we'll fool ourselves into thinking this team is capable, that this team could get to an Eastern Conference Finals, that this team could get to an NBA Finals, that this team has the talent and the ability to win an NBA championship. Maybe we'll fool ourselves. Maybe we'll get hyped up. Maybe there'll be a stretch. But we have seen in the first 7 games that they have played the three best teams in the NBA, they are 0-7, and the games aren't close. And this team doesn't have what last year's team did. Right? Now, I don't know if Randall and the big ragu, like, I don't know if that team, as much as we loved them last year, right? As much as we loved them. And I don't know, you know, DiVincenzo and his threes and his big moments and, you know, Randall, I'm talking about getting to the basket. Randall stopped shooting threes and getting to the basket last year. I still think this team is more talented and ultimately better situated to compete for an NBA Finals. But they are missing something inertly important that last year's team had. The desire to fight. And again, I don't care about the injuries. Mitchell Robinson is not saving this team. OG Anunoby was on the floor. Josh Hart was on the floor. The bench came in and went on a 10-2 run. This was another embarrassing loss and further solidifying the idea that they cannot compete with the best teams in the NBA, and particularly the Boston Celtics, who are long, who can shoot as well as anyone in the NBA, who have five shooters on the floor, who pick apart the Knicks, who feel very comfortable playing the Knicks, who don't get any pushback on screens, who don't, you know, nobody attacks the basket on them. The offense is a pass it around the perimeter, wait for the shot clock to run out, take bad shots, have those long rebounds result in transition offense for the Boston Celtics. I mean, that was the first quarter. And Mikal Bridges is becoming a real problem. You know, you knew it was going to take a little bit of time to transition his role with this team, new team, you know, playing with his former guys and having to find the role for himself. But right now, he's not shooting well from behind the three-point line. He's not playing nearly as good defensively as I thought he was. He's not fighting through anything, and he's afraid of contact. He doesn't ever go to the basket. He never seeks out contact. He's shooting 1.1 free throw a game. This is a guy they're relying on. This is a guy who plays more minutes than anybody else on the team. And to Lori's point, he didn't get a rebound in this game. And he didn't take a foul shot in this game. He played 28 minutes. He plays more minutes than anyone else on the team. And in this game, in 28 minutes, he doesn't get a rebound and he doesn't take a free throw. Like, we could talk all day about the five draft picks. That's over. And maybe they could flip him. I mean, he's still a talented player. There's always, if it's not working, you could always move on and find something that might help. But here, the issue is, you know, this guy's not hitting his threes. He's not playing defense. He's not fighting through screens. And he's not being physical in any way. And he is running from contact. And Karl Anthony Towns, who I've praised, has not showed up in these big games. And I'm sorry. You want to be a star? You want to be, you know, Mr. Nick? You want to work on your foul shots after a game against the Bulls where you struggled at the foul line and, you know, have it be on TV and, you know, be a starting all-star player for the New York Knicks and lead them to a championship, be that difference maker? When you know that this team hasn't shown up against the Boston Celtics, when you know you got blown out Friday night against the Cavaliers, and you know the talking point around your team is that you're not as good and don't belong in the top echelon of the NBA, and you allow your team to get doubled up 38-19 in the first quarter, and you score no points? Unacceptable. Unacceptable. And now they'll move on, and they'll probably win some games, and they'll be a three seed, and no one will believe that they can get past Cleveland, and no one will believe that they can get past Boston, because they have given you absolutely zero reason to believe such a thing. In fact, it's patently ridiculous. And I said this yesterday, it's amazing to me that we can actually have this conversation, right? I mean, it's been so many years to just take it for granted they're a three seed, to take it for granted that they are one of the handful of best teams in the NBA. It's amazing to me. If you would have told me 5-6 years ago that I'd be talking about the Knicks as the clear-cut third-best team in the conference, and yet I'd be pissed off, it's almost some sort of accomplishment that they've gotten this good that I could be annoyed about anything other than actually having a basketball season. But here we are. The Knicks are good. The Knicks aren't good enough. And they certainly aren't tough enough. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back with your calls. We'll get to St. John's, who's the exact opposite. Who is tough enough. Who does play hard. Who plays the hell out of a defense. And you know what? They're starting to hit their threes. And if they can do that, maybe they are dangerous enough to go cut down the nets. Maybe they are dangerous enough to get to a Final Four. That was the one element, that three-point shot, and they did it against the UConn Huskies earlier Sunday. So we've got that to talk about. The Yankees add another tradition that goes by the wayside. The Mets are dealing with an injury. Who's that last roster spot? A lot to get to. McMonagle here with you on the Fan, but we start with your New York Knicks. 888-808-1019. We'll spin the wheel of quarterbacks at 3 a.m. We'll find another option for the New York Jets, and we'll see if it's as good as Aaron Rodgers. And of course, a lot of talk about Matthew Stafford in the quarterback position. So we can get to that as well with the Giants and Jets.